The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill and he is Ewan Cameron. How are you doing?
Why have I got Gordon Duncan's muff?
I don't know why you've got Gordon Duncan's muff. This is a sort of hangover from COVID. So basically during COVID we were all given our own headphones,
yes,
with our names on them. Mine says Dan though, and I'm not Dan, that's my producer when I'm on with Gary. And we all got given our own mic muffs as well, and mine's is 102.
Mine's is Gordon Duncan 102.
Yeah, so there you are.
So now we don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
And here we are, ready for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I've had the last 36, 40 hours to prepare for this.
Yes.
Bring it on, Stephen Mill.
A lot of stuff happening over the weekend. We'll get to it all. Plus, we'll be going through your shouts for a Scottish football. We're a board game. You can find us on Twitter at Big Football Scott. We're on Instagram and Facebook as well. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. And make sure you subscribe to the Big Scottish Football Podcast wherever you listen to the show. Thank you very much in advance. Please give us 5 stars. That's amazing. Right, let's get stuck in. Where would you like to start, Ewan Cameron? We've got a choice this week, don't we? Where do you want to start? It's up to you.
Is it up to me?
It's up to you. Where do you want to start?
Should we just start in the order of how things began?
Chronologically.
Yes. So, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
It was, I don't know.
But were we monkeys before we were humans?
Well, yes, I think there's scientific
facts.
Fact to back that up, to be honest, Ewan.
So we're part
of the theory of evolution. I know it's a theory, but it's probably steeped in science.
So the theory of evolution is that we descended from monkeys.
Yep.
So if we're going to start right at the beginning.
Well, I think even before that, we were probably single-celled organisms way back at the start, to be honest with you. Then we turned into fish. And then sort of crawled out into frogs.
Uh-huh.
And then became monkey frog things. And then became monkeys, monkey frog fish. And then became humans. Yeah. There's actually a very good South Park episode that explains that. Mr. Garrison explains it very well. So then, yeah.
Did you watch Prometheus by any chance? Because it sounds like you watched that movie.
I've never seen that film, no.
Because at the start of Prometheus, there is a being from another world stands at the top of a waterfall, and he releases something into the water.
Okay.
And he also disintegrates himself and releases himself into the water. And that may explain why you think we were fish to begin with, because it was another being from another planet that came, disintegrated into the water. They became fish. The fish then didn't they like being in the water.
So and they just, sort of grew legs and that.
Grew legs and that. Then they crawled out of the water and they started running around.
Yeah.
And then, but then how did the monkey come about? We'll never know the answer to that question.
Well, maybe because the fish had legs and they were out on land, they got cold because obviously they've only got scales. So over time, evolution, they got hairy. So they were sort of hairy-legged fish. And then it wasn't a giant leap then to become a monkey.
Got you. And then
became humans.
Became humans. Okay. So anyway, we started right at the beginning.
So we started right at the beginning.
And here we are in 2023.
And it finished Celtic 3, Rangers 2 on Saturday lunchtime. So we watched it together, you and Cameron.
Good game.
It was a good game of football.
I enjoyed it. I mean, the quality was missing, but I thought it was 100 miles an hour. I thought it was end to end. I thought Rangers were the better team. I thought, apart from the Rangers' defence getting it wrong twice and more or less handing Celtic a couple of goals, I thought Rangers deserved to win it.
Let's remind us, everyone listening to this podcast, what you said last week about this football match, okay? Oh,
I'm going to say something here and now. Rangers will beat Celtic at Parkhead on Saturday. Rangers are closer than some people think, and I think they proved that at Ibrox when they drew 2-2. Rangers deserve to win that game, and I think they'll come out all guns blazing, and I'm going to go for a 2-1 win for Rangers at Parkhead. I think Rangers beat them in the semi-final as well.
Okay.
If it wasn't for Davis and Suter, they win the game 2-1.
Again, there's a famous phrase about your auntie.
And your uncle.
And your uncle. So at the end of the day, it finished Celtic 3, Rangers 2. You got that one wrong.
I got that one. Listen,
I'm big enough to concede. I thought Rangers played pretty well. Obviously, defensive mistakes played a part in it as well. We'll get to the Morelos stuff a little bit later on when we do WTF VAR. But in terms of the actual game,
can I ask you?
I think Celtic didn't play that well, but they're so much more clinical than what Rangers are. Kyogo is sharp as a tack, and he proved on Saturday why he's the best striker in Scotland.
Are Rangers closer to Celtic?
I don't think so. Because I don't think Celtic played that well, and they still won.
And you said that about Celtic the last time they played Rangers in the League Cup final. Was the League Cup final Rangers and were the better side over the 90 minutes? I know Celtic had their period in the first half.
Celtic still won.
And then Ibrox, Rangers were the better team and should have won it. And
Rangers
2-2.
Didn't win.
But what I'm getting at here, have Rangers closed the gap? And are Celtic not playing as well against Rangers because Rangers not allowing them to play as well?
Yeah, I mean, possibly. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
And before anyone messages me or tweets me or DMs me about me being some secret Rangers fan, this is not about me supporting Rangers, backing Rangers. We all watched the game on Saturday. For me, over the 90 minutes, Rangers deserve to win.
Doth protest too much.
No, because I keep getting the same tweets and DMs all the time about my affiliation to Rangers.
Maybe a reason for that, though, Rangers.
But I think that
Rangers... just called you Rangers.
I think over the 90 minutes, I thought Rangers were the better side. I thought they'd go into the faces of Celtic. They didn't let them relax and give them time on the ball. Again, I've got to say it, Callum McGregor. How there's no big clubs down south knocking on the door to get that boy is unreal.
I don't think he wants to leave Celtic.
But why is there nobody knocking on the door? Because he, again, was just magnificent. That boy finds space when there's no space. He finds a pass 99% of the time. You can't stop him. He is unbelievable. So he had a really good game, and I thought he kept Celtic ticking over. But I'll say it again, I thought Rangers were the better side in the 90 minutes. And yes, Celtic won. And it was a great game, but I think Rangers will beat them in the semi-final.
Three times Michael Beale has gone up against Celtic, and he's not beaten them yet.
Good point. You can't argue the stats.
Like, nobody, I heard quite a lot of Rangers fans saying this, yeah, we did play quite well on Saturday, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, nobody remembers how well they played. They remember the result.
No, but
three times Michael Beale has come up against Celtic, he's needed to win all three of them, and he's won zero.
Yeah. But I think the Rangers fans can see there's progress. They're matching Celtic. They're creating chances.
There's a lot of chat about a big Rangers rebuild over the summer. But looking at that team that started on Saturday, you know, new goalkeeper probably. McGregor's out of contract. But out the back four, Goldson's going to be there.
Well, just signed a new deal last year.
Tavernier's going to be there. Barisic is going to be there.
Yeah.
In the midfield, Cantwell's going to be there. Raskin's going to be there.
Jack will probably be there. He'll sign a new deal.
Exactly. Up front,
Lundstrom's, has he not got a couple of years still to go?
I think so. Kent is still going through contract negotiations, I believe.
I think he might sign and stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Morelos will go.
But you're talking about 7 or 8 players that started on Saturday will probably be starting for Rangers next season.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a massive rebuild.
Apart from Fashion Sakala and Colak, who was coming off that bench to influence that game? There wasn't really anyone there that's going to turn the game for you. Sakala possibly with his pace. Colak for me is, and no disrespect to Hibs or Aberdeen, but he is that level of a striker, is Colak. He's not a Rangers Celtic quality type player. Not a chance.
Earlier on in the season, you weren't saying that. He looked pretty good.
No, he was scoring goals.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a particularly great striker. I'm not having him. So Rangers need a new striker. They need a couple of strikers, actually, because I think Morelos will go. And you'd have probably Colak as your third choice. I don't think he's even your second choice, if they can get a couple of decent players in. Rumours were at the weekend that Rangers apparently inquired about Lauren Shanklin.
Yeah, I did see some chat about that. But then there was other conflicting reports saying that hadn't happened as well. Tillman as well, 5 million.
I thought he was good on Saturday.
So again, going through the team, McGregor will be away.
He's gone.
You'd imagine.
Yeah.
Tavernier, Suter, Davis, Barisic, all going to be there next season.
Yes.
And you've got Goldson as well, who's in.
Yilmaz, who's still there, who could play at left back.
Jack, probably going to be there if he signs a new contract, probably will.
Lundstrom.
Raskin, Cantwell, Tillman, Kent. That's 9 of the team that started on Saturday going to be there next season. This sort of thing, that there's going to be a massive rebuild at Rangers, there's not going to be, because a lot of them they've signed recently.
Well, Canwell and Raskin will be definite starters. So will Goldson. So will Davis. So will Tavernier. So you're probably only looking at, what, two or three possible players coming in to improve your 11.
And do you think that's enough to make up the gap to Celtic?
I think they're already closing the gap.
I know, but what I'm asking you
what,
is...
What, to go in and win the league?
Yes.
No.
Right.
No. I don't think what they've got just now would win them the league next year. They have to improve, and improve greatly in regards to their starting 11 and also to bolster their squad. I think over 38 games, Celtic are a way better side and more prolific in front of goal. I mean, look at the amount of goals that Celtic have scored this year. And every time they go forward, you always feel that they're going to create a chance.
98 goals in
yeah,
the league.
Yeah. And they're going to get to, well beyond 100.
From the Celtic point of view, just very quickly, another league title.
Yeah.
If someday they told you after 2 weeks of the season last year that Ange Postecoglou would have won the league last season and then gone on to retain it, looking like very, very, very comfortably on course for a treble, would you have believed them?
Nah. I don't think anyone would have.
I think there was a lot of people going, Ange who? Including Celtic fans, yeah, by the way. And he has just completely revolutionised. And you've got to remember as well, the mess that Celtic were in. That absolute mess that Neil Lennon left. They were in a complete state.
It's night and day, and you have to applaud the guy, which is why that Ange Postecoglou will be on the list of many chairmen across world football in the summer. There will be a manager merry-go-round in the summer, and Ange Postecoglou, I'm telling you right now, will be in the top three of chairmen's lists of taking over their club, whether it be in the Premier League, whether it be Spain, whether it be Italy. I think he's that good a manager. He is one of the best managers to come into Scotland since Brendan Rodgers. Gio was never that man. I think Steven Gerrard has proved isn't the best manager, but he had good people around him, which was Michael Beale, which is why he's got the job now. For me, Ange Postecoglou has been the best manager in Scottish football since Rodgers. And then before that, Martin O'Neill, Walter Smith. He's up there. He's definitely up there. The guy has done a remarkable job in a short period of time, and the way they play their football is a joy to watch.
So, he's on course for the treble. You think Rangers are going to beat them in the semi-final, though?
But I do.
At this stage, you can't really bet against them.
No, you can't.
Celtic have to go into that game as favourites.
But just, again, I say that Rangers win that game based on the last couple of performances, and I thought they were unlucky on Saturday not to get a result. I think Rangers deserve to get something from the game. It's all about putting the ball in the back of the net. But over the 90 minutes, they should have at least come away with a point, at worst.
So Celtic are going to win the treble.
They're not.
And Rangers are going to win the should have got a result treble in the last three matches. Is that what you're saying?
So you think Celtic are winning the treble?
Aye, yes.
Do you want to put a bet on that?
Yeah, if you want, yeah.
I don't know what the bet should be, because I don't think it should be money. I think it should be something a bit more daring, a bit more risque.
Okay.
Well, think of something.
All right, yeah.
When's the semi-final for the Scottish Cup?
End of April.
We'll come up with a bet, a more risky bet for next week's show.
Okie dokie. Right.
So you're definitely going for Celtic?
I think Celtic will win the treble, yes.
Okay, I don't think they will.
Okay, fair enough.
Because even if they get to the final, Falkirk will beat them. I'm joking!
Very good. Right, other big news from the weekend. Let's remind ourselves what you and Cameron said about it last week.
I'm going to say this. If Robbie Nielsen does not beat St Mirren at Tynecastle on Saturday, he has to be sacked. If you think it's bad now, wait until Saturday. We have to beat St Mirren. If we don't, Robbie Nielsen will no longer be the Hearts manager, because the Hearts board, I think they'll have to take some sort of action, because we're expected to finish third and we can't afford not to get there.
Don't say I'm not good to you, Ewan, because three under a bus earlier on, but I gave you credit there. You got it spot on.
I think that was an easy one. I think most observers who were watching what was going on at Tynecastle...
Hands up, I thought they wouldn't sack him. I thought they would at least give him the derby, or at least till the end of the season, given what he's done. Now, I know you're going to counter that in just a wee second, but I'm going to go first here. I think it's the wrong move getting rid of Robbie Nielsen, and I'll tell you why. They did it before, and it went Pete Tong. They brought in a whole host of people who just weren't up to scratch. Now, listen, yes, obviously, just now, Hearts are going through a very difficult period and were going through a difficult period under Robbie Nielsen. But what he's done, getting them up from the Championship twice, Scottish Cup finals, third in the league, getting into Europe as well, putting some decent showings in Europe as well. I think he had enough credit in the bank, at least to get to the summer, to see if he could have gotten third place. If he hadn't have got third place, I think they would have been well within their rights to go, nah, actually, Robbie, you've taken us as far as you can. I think now Hearts are in danger
of
their season is going to implode.
I mean, honestly.
Stephen Naismith is now in charge at the end of the season, a man who's never been a manager before.
Shut up.
And
you watched Dunfermline in League One, right?
And the reason I'm watching Dunfermline in League One is that we sacked our manager, who wasn't doing well. We also lost Stevie Crawford before that as well. But we brought in John Hughes, a man who you said, by the way, was going to keep us up last season.
Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you get it wrong.
Right. So we sacked the manager, brought in John Hughes, who was an absolute disaster as well.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying Dunfermline shouldn't have got rid of Peter Grant. That was obviously the right move. But in this case, Robbie Nielsen's got a track record of getting it right at Hearts.
Stephen.
He has got a track record against it. You can't argue against
Stephen.
I think
you're on the outside looking in.
I think
you're on the outside looking in.
The Hearts have made a big, big mistake.
I am in with the Bricks.
Hearts will live to regret this.
No, they will not live to regret this.
They won't be as consistent as they are just now under Robbie Nielsen.
We are worse off at this time of the season than we were last year.
Mm-hmm.
The football we're playing is shocking. I mean, it's poor. We look uninterested. We look like we don't know what we're doing. It looked like there's no game plan. There's no structure. We are all over the place. Now, you're saying that he's got credit in the bank because of what he has achieved in the past. You could say that about any football manager who's been successful. Why did Celtic sack Neil Lennon after he just won them the treble in 9 in a row? Why did they sack him? Why? Because it was going Pete Tong. Despite having credit in the bank, it was an absolute mess on and off the park.
So, Neil Lennon, just to clarify,
Neil Lennon had enough credit in the bank, but they sacked him.
Just to clarify,
Jose Mourinho, after all he did for Chelsea, Abramovich sacked him.
Jose Mourinho.
I'm just saying.
Chelsea sack managers every week.
Forget what you've done. What you're doing now. There are problems within the dressing room. There is a split. Stephen Kingsley, the night after Robbie Nielsen got sacked, did an interview with the Edinburgh Evening News, and he hinted that there was a split in the dressing room, that there were problems, and there were cliques, etc., 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 which was causing issues on and off the pitch. That comes from the top. So it wasn't just about how we were performing, and that we'd lost 5 of our last 6 games. Had nothing to do with that. It was what had been going on behind the scenes and what had been going on for months at Hearts. We were on the slide. And if we didn't do something about it, Aberdeen were going to finish third. And by finishing third, they're going to be in the Europa Conference League. And by getting into Europa Conference League, that's a cheque of £3.5 million going to Aberdeen. We had to do something because we need to give ourselves a boost and a chance in the last remaining games to finish third ahead of Aberdeen.
So the way to do that, to give yourselves a boost, as you've just explained, there's problems in the dressing room. There's a split. They're not getting on with the coaching staff. So to give yourself a boost, you've appointed the coaching staff who are already there to get you to the end of the season.
I'm not Einstein, but the two that have gone, could that be the problem?
Well, I don't know. Are they not a team? Stephen Naismith was on the backroom team. Gordon Forrest was there.
But his assistant was Lee McCulloch.
But
Gordon Forrest was gone? They didn't ask McCulloch to stand by.
Gordon Forrest was the first team coach.
They didn't ask McCulloch to stand by.
Stephen Naismith,
they
first
didn't
team
ask
coach.
Lee McCulloch to stay on as interim manager, did they? He may have said, I don't want the job.
Let's go back to when Robbie Nielsen was sacked the first time round after he got you promoted for the championship. And
the football was poor then and we wanted him out at that time.
Third in the league, and I think his last game was beating Rangers at Tynecastle. So after he left, Ian Catherall came in. How did he do, Ewan?
What do you want me to say?
Well, how did he do?
Just
in comparison to Robbie Nielsen, was Ian Catherall worse or better than Robbie Nielsen?
Ian Catherall was always going to be worse.
Okay, Craig Levine, was he worse or better than Robbie Nielsen?
Craig Levine was always going to be worse as well because he's
Daniel
the one who brought Catherall
in. Daniel Stendel, was he better or worse than Robbie Nielsen?
Worse, but Stephen.
Okay, right, okay. And then Robbie Nielsen comes back in, takes you back up for the championship, gets you to third, gets you to 2 Scottish Cup finals in a row.
You need to stop this. You're really annoying me now.
And then you sack him.
I need some bells or something. I do need to do some meditating. I just need to zen out for a second because you're f***ing me off with your You keep throwing at me, oh, he won a championship here. He got you to a Scottish Cup.
He got you to a Scottish Cup finals.
You finished third. It's not about that, Stephen.
What is it about then?
On the slide.
So you would prefer, just to clarify, you finishing sixth, but playing decent football and getting to the Scottish Cup quarterfinals.
Stephen, we were at one stage in the season 17 points ahead of Aberdeen. 17 points ahead of Aberdeen, who have been a shambles all season.
But they've won the last five games.
It just proves how poor Hearts have been that we've allowed Aberdeen back in. That's how far back we have fallen. They're a shambolic football club that were on the ropes, had sacked Jim Goodwin, had just been knocked out by a pub team in the Scottish Cup, yet we've allowed Aberdeen to get ahead of us. It's a joke. That needed to be dealt with. And I'm sorry, Robbie, you did great for us, but your time was up. And the Hearts board did the right thing. They could see there was issues behind the scenes and also on the pitch as well. And when the two are not working in unison, you've got a massive problem on your hands and you need to make big calls. And that's what the board are there for. They've made the call. Will it work? I hope it does. And we'll find out on Saturday when we go Easter Road and play Hibs.
How much blame did the players take in this?
Well, a huge blame as well, but that's not the point.
Well, no, but I'm asking you. Like, but so that's not there's the Robert Snodgrass getting sent off on Saturday. He's down tools over the last few weeks. He's been rotten.
He's not been great.
Barry Mackay, rotten.
Not been great.
Also, I'll put it to you as well, he's been missing four really big players for a lot of the season as well.
Stephen, without those
Gordon,
four players...
Halkett.
It does, right. Without those four players... is irrelevant. Our squad is superb. We spent...
Is it though?
With the right manager in there, playing the players in the right positions with a proper game plan, we've got a very good squad with a striker who bangs in goals for fun, but yet we were playing him as a number 10 with Ginelli up top. What was that all about? Lauren Shanklin, one of the best strikers in Scottish football. And I'll also want to point out to you as well, we spent £350,000 on a German midfielder who's yet to be given a clear chance and opportunity. The much sought after striker, winger from Newcastle that loads of clubs were in for, we got him. Hasn't started a game for us yet.
To be fair, every time he's come on, he's looked absolutely
But then when we do start him, where do we start him? Central midfield against Rangers when they pumped us 3 going on 12.
Now, is Robbie Nielsen is in charge of recruitment or wasn't in charge of recruitment?
It's Joe Savage.
So has he got to go as well?
Joe Savage has made some errors, but I think that time will tell whether Joe Savage is right for that job, because once we get a manager in...
Joe Savage at the start of the season was saying they want to win the league within the next five years.
We don't know how good or bad these players are because it hasn't worked under Robbie Nielsen.
Are Hearts going to win the league under Stephen Naismith?
He's not going to be the manager next year.
Who's going to be the manager next year?
I'm hoping for Chris Wilder.
Who's at Watford?
Yeah, but there's rumours that he might go because it looks like they're going to miss out in the top six. He's brought in till the end of the season to get him into the top six. If he doesn't get the top six, Watford will get shot of him.
Okay.
So I would take him in a heartbeat. I'd also take Nangelsmann, who's just been sacked by Bayern Munich.
So would I. Yeah, play him in midfield. Right. Just very quickly, because we do need to move on. Congrats St Mirren, by the way. It looks like they're going to finish in the top six for the first
time. What a performance. They were brilliant.
So barring an absolutely collapse in the last two games,
yes,
they're going to finish in the top six. Curtis Main, Gogic as well. O'Hara with the second goal. And they're going to finish in the top six. Stephen Robinson, there's another one. You fancy him?
He's on the short list.
Now,
he's third favourite.
What I would say to you, Stephen Robinson, not known for playing attractive football. Not known for playing free-flowing attractive football.
He won't get the job. We're going for bigger and better than Stephen Robinson. That's no disrespect to Robinson, but that's his level.
Okay, right. Well done to Stephen Robinson and St Mirren. Looks like they're going to finish inside the top six. Let's move on. Aberdeen 2, Kilmarnock 0. Duke scoring after 16 seconds on Saturday and then following it up with the second a little bit later on as well. And that means Aberdeen have won 5 games on the spin. They're up to third in the table as well. They are currently 2 points ahead of Hearts. Are they going to finish above Hearts this season?
They've got momentum. They have put together a run of great results. One of those results was against Hearts when they pumped us 3-0. They're in with a brilliant shout. They need to come to Tynecastle though at the split. That could be a cup final.
You never know how the split fixtures work out.
No, no, they will definitely be sending us to Pittodrie for three games when there's so much at stake. Ain't happening. They'll definitely be coming to Tynecastle. If not, there'll be war.
Okay, well, I look forward to war then. Kilmarnock losing again, because obviously they were playing away from home, and with Ross County winning and Dundee United winning, that means the gap at the bottom between 10th and 12th is 3 points. Now, St Johnstone lost to Ross County on Saturday. They're on 32 points. Does that suck them right back into it? Callum Davidson says, we're in a relegation battle. Make no bones about it.
It does suck them back into that playoff position. I don't think they'll finish 12th, but you never know. When the split comes, they've all got to play each other.
Yeah.
St Johnstone could find themselves fighting that relegation playoff spot. What a result for Dundee United. 90th minute penalty. Is that the goal that turns their season around and gets them out of trouble?
First one under Jim Goodwin.
Massive result. And do you know what? I thought Hibs were a bit unlucky in the game. I thought they deserved to get something out of it.
Had some good chances, yeah. Yeah, they really did. So Hibs, as it stands, just about in the top six by a point ahead of Livingston. Motherwell are on 36 points. They've got two games left. One of them is at Parkhead, though, so it looks like they'll not be getting into the top six, despite another cracking win on Saturday. 3-0 winners against Livingston. What's going on at Livy, by the way? It's all falling to bits.
Imploded, haven't they? There is issues at Livingston.
Is this from your sources again?
No. What I mean is, they were a team that didn't concede goals.
Now they concede three in the first half all the time.
All the time. Something again. Is it because they know that they're safe and they're fine and that's they're thinking of their summer holidays? Who knows, but David Martindale won't be happy.
No, he never is. So 3-0, it finished, and then obviously...
Are they missing Marvin Bartley?
That's a good point, actually, because we'll get to Marvin Bartley in just a wee second, because Queens are motoring along in League One. But let's go to the Championship next. Let's start on Friday night. Big win for Partick Thistle. Partick Thistle got a wee sniff of the league. They're 3 points behind Dundee. They've played a game more.
They've got momentum.
They do have momentum.
And what a result for them at the weekend.
4-0 against Queen's Park. Queen's Park are absolutely falling to bits. Three defeats in their last three. And remember, they played Dundee on the final game of the season. It is at Stenhouse Muir, so we'll see what happens. It might be over by then. But Dundee getting a point on Saturday against Arbroath. A big, big crowd at Arbroath as well. What was it, over 5,000?
Over 5,000.
Like so brilliant stuff. Love to see that. Big, big away support. Got a point. And that means that Dundee go top of the table on goal difference ahead of Queen's Park.
What do you think?
I think Dundee will go on and win the league. But let's be honest, it's not a vintage Championship season. There they are, 54 points after 31 games. It's not going to be a great total. I mean, the maximum they can get is what, 69 points to win the league?
Not best.
That's a very, very low total for winning the Championship.
I so want Dundee to win. I don't want Queen's Park in the Premier League.
Do you think Queen's Park have got a shout in the playoffs, though? Queen's Park, Partick, Ayr. I mean, Inverness have got a game in hand. If they win that, they go 2 points behind Ayr United. Inverness, by the way, again won on Saturday, 2-0 against Raith Rovers. And their third straight win, up to fifth, 5 points off Ayr, as I mentioned, do have a game in hand. Raith Rovers, on the other hand, they're 7 points ahead of relegation,
so let's assume, right, that Dundee win the league, and I personally want Dundee to win the league.
9 points.
And I'd love Dundee United to stay in the Premier League, so we can have the
12 points.
We can have the Tayside Derby. Yeah. I want the Tayside Derby in the Premier League. It's a great fixture, and I love everything that goes with it. So come on Dundee, and come on Dundee United under Jim Goodwin. Get yourself safe.
There was also a big game at the bottom of the table
on
Saturday.
Wait! The question I was going to ask you.
Okay.
Whoever finishes in the playoff position, do any of the three that are in the playoffs in the Championship beat the Premier League team over two legs?
I don't think so.
If Ross County are up against Ayr?
Ross County.
If they're up against Partick?
Ross County. I think the Premiership teams are just a wee bit stronger, to be honest with you.
So you don't think there's any Premiership team that finishes in a playoff position could be beaten by a Championship club?
Here's something. If Inverness get to the playoff final, and they get to the Scottish Cup final, they'll have the Cup final on the Saturday and the playoff final on the Monday.
No way. They'll have to rearrange that. I know Sky have got the rights to the playoff games as well.
Yeah, exactly. So,
can you imagine it's Inverness and Ross County?
So Inverness have finally hit a wee bit of form. I mean, Billy Dodds was on a shugly peg for a lot of the season, a lot of unhappy Inverness fans. But they've finally hit form. They've got a fully fit squad now as well. If they can sneak into the playoffs, that means that they have gone into it in good form. You know, I'd feel sorry for Ayr. Ayr have had a really good season. Aye. I think a lot of people were thinking Ayr will struggle again. Yeah. They just stayed up out of the playoffs last season at the expense of Dunfermline. I don't know. I think Inverness and Partick are the two form teams. So we'll see what happens. The two thistles.
Who's going to be the top four?
Dundee, Queen's Park, Partick Thistle, Inverness. I think Ayr will just miss out. Sorry, Ayr fans.
I agree with you.
Let's also speak about Morton. Because we have to on this podcast, because there's a Morton fan that listens to the show.
Yeah.
So 1-1 against Ayr United on Saturday. So Morton dropped to sixth. They're 6 points behind Ayr. They do have a game in hand against Ayr, so if they win it, it's not out with the realm of possibility that they get into the playoffs. But their form hasn't been great under the game race of late.
Nah. What do you think?
Nah, as I say, I think if anyone's going to break into that top four, I would say Inverness, and I think they will, just on the fact that they're on a decent run. So there you are. At the bottom of the table, just very quickly, it was Hamilton 1, Cove 1. So it's as you were, obviously. So Hamilton on 29 points, Cove on 27. Paul Hartley is paying for the away support's travel to their next 3 away games. They actually got a point on Saturday, which is better than usual, because they lost their previous 7 games or whatever it is. But you think Cove and Hamilton,
they're done.
Arbroath are safe. I mean, they're only 3 points ahead of Hamilton, though.
But they again have got momentum
on
their side.
In 7 or 8 matches.
I watched Arbroath play. Who was it? Who did they beat 2-0 the other week there?
They beat Ayr United on Friday night.
Ayr United, yeah. They were very good. That second goal.
Yeah.
What a goal that was. It was one of the goals of the season. It was actual football they played. Brilliant.
Cove, bottom, Hamilton playoff.
Hamilton playoff. And if Hamilton get in the playoffs, I think they'll be all right. I think they'll be fine against
Falkirk, Airdrie.
Oh, maybe no then. No, do you know what? Hamilton, if they finish in a playoff position, they could go down, actually, because I think Falkirk will do a number on them.
Well, not entirely sure about that, because on Saturday, Falkirk were 2-0 up against Dunfermline and then bottled it. Absolutely bottled it. Dunfermline got it back to 2-2.
Well, there's nothing to play for.
Should have
at least done.
Should have gone in, actually, in front at half-time. Dunfermline, they should have been 3-2 in front. Missed an absolute sitter just before the break.
It's been a season of missed chances for Falkirk.
It doesn't matter, because Dunfermline are 11 points clear and can win the championship tonight if Dunfermline beat Peterhead and Falkirk don't beat Montrose away from home.
So I think you throw the game against Peterhead so that you can win it in front of your fans on Saturday.
Queen
East
of the
End
South
Park.
On Saturday, yeah. Yes. So we'll see. And saying that, we could win and Falkirk could win, and it would have to go to Saturday anyway.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens tonight. Dunfermline at Peterhead, and Falkirk also on their travels. They are taking on Montrose. Elsewhere in League One, Queen of the South are on the march. And they're up to fifth. They're only 3 points behind Allo in that playoff spot. Marvin Bartley, the man with the magic touch.
Unbelievable. I actually messaged Marvin at the weekend there just to congratulate him, because they are on some run and you could see them gate crashing the playoffs.
They won their last 4 matches.
So good.
And as I said, only 3 points behind Allo, who have lost their last 2. Airdrie, though, are on a brilliant run. They beat Montrose 3-0 on Saturday, and they're only 2 points behind Falkirk now.
Aye.
In the last five, six matches.
Airdrie and Falkirk are secure in the playoffs. It's between Alloa and Queen of the South now as to who gets that 4th spot.
I tell you what, Airdrie are going to win the playoffs. I'm calling it right now.
Nah, Falkirk win it.
They're the form team. Falkirk haven't won in the last 5, whereas Airdrie have won the last 5. The momentum is with Airdrie, and it's also with Queen of the South as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Queen of the South sneak into the playoffs.
I think Queen of the South will sneak into the playoffs. I'd like to know if they're actually going to be playing Allo at any point between now and the end of the season, because that will be some game if those two are up against each other. But I would actually say that if Marvin Bartley gets his Queen of the South into the playoffs, there is every chance with their momentum that they might cause a little shock and win promotion to the championship.
Do you know what also happened at the weekend as well?
What happened, Stephen?
For only the 3rd time this season.
Well, go and tell me.
Peterhead actually won a match.
This is the Real Football Phone with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
I'll play that every time Peterhead win a match. That's what I'm going to do from now on, okay? So they won on Saturday. They beat FC Edinburgh. They're still bottom of the league, though, and they're still 2 points behind Clyde, but they do have a game in hand. Clyde drew with Kelly Hearts on Saturday, so interesting at the bottom of the table in League One. Finally, in League Two at the weekend, Stirling Albion I think, can win the league tonight as well. They are playing Dumbarton. They might need to wait until Saturday. Producer Chris, if you could work that one out for me.
Getting a thumbs up from producer Chris.
Yes, so they could win the league tonight. Stirling Albion have been on an absolutely brilliant run, and Dumbarton, on the other side of things, have been on a honking run. They are currently 9 points ahead of Dumbarton. They would go 12 points in front if they won tonight, with only 12 points available. So technically they haven't won the league tonight. They'll go 12 points clear with 12 to play for.
Yes.
So they could still technically lose the league. I mean, it'd be unlikely. But anyway, well done to Stirling Albion for winning the league probably tonight. And Darren Young doing a great job. I mention this all the time. Got East Fife promoted. Got Albion Rovers promoted from League 2 as well.
Well.
So he's done a great job at Stirling Albion as well. Well done to Darren Young. Elsewhere in League 2 at the weekend, Albion Rovers actually won a game as well under their new manager, Sandy Clark, beating Elgin City 3-0. Elgin City absolutely sinking like a stone. They are now bottom of the table. It was a must win for Albion Rovers, and Elgin City have reacted to that by sacking their manager. And you've got big thoughts on their manager, haven't you, Ewan?
Do I?
Yeah.
Who is it?
The Elgin manager. You know him. You know the Elgin City manager. Come on.
Do I? Give me a clue. Is he Scottish?
Yes.
Elgin manager got sacked at the weekend.
He was one of the longest serving managers in the league. What, he was Elgin City manager since 2017.
Was he a player?
Yes.
Was he a good player?
Do you want me to read out the teams that he played for?
Yeah, do that.
He started his career at Forfar, then went to Canoole, then Meadowbank Thistle, then Brechin City, then went to Ado Den Haag in Holland for 2 years.
What?
Then went to St Johnston, then went to Stirling Albion, then Brechin, and then, of course, famously finished his career at Altrincham. His managerial career is as follows. He was at Canoole for 3 years, then was at Genefield Swifts for a year, and then in 2017 took over at Elgin City.
And you expect me to get his name from those clues?
He also is an MBE for services to the community in Aberfeldy during the COVID-19 pandemic. So he's a good guy. Good guy. 37.5% win rate.
How old is he?
He is 49 years old. You should know that. He'll be the big 5-0 next year. He'll be invited to his party.
49?
Yeah.
The club's St Johnston. Yeah. So what year would he have played with St Johnston?
1997.
97?
He made zero appearances.
Signed for St Johnston, then didn't play?
Yes. He was a striker. He scored 17 goals in 44 matches for Ado Den Haag. That's no bad.
And he's Scottish?
Yeah.
49?
Yeah.
Is he a pundit on the telly?
Not that I'm aware of.
Have you ever heard them, like, on podcasts or anything, or
no? Nah? We should get him on the podcast next week. I'd be very interested to talk to this guy.
Well, he might know what to come on now that he's been sacked.
That'd be a perfect time. He's not doing much else.
Would I know who it is?
100% I'd have known.
Because you're used to talk about lower league football, because that's where your club play.
Oh, very good. Very good.
You need to give me some other clues. Give me these initials.
GP.
Graham.
No.
George.
No.
Grant.
No.
G Grant.
A common name.
George.
Gary. A common sort of Scottish name.
Scottish name, yeah. Gary, George.
You're now just naming people who work at the radio station.
Yes.
So, think of other people who work at the radio station with this name, beginning with G.
There's somebody else that works at this radio station, begins with a G.
Worked here for a very, very long time.
Grant.
No, still not Grant. Still not George. Still not Gary. Come on.
Does it work on air?
Yes.
They're on the radio.
For many, many years. Been here forever.
George.
No.
George Bowie, no.
The other one beginning with a G. Come on.
Greg.
No. I see what you've done there, but no, not Greg.
Gregsy.
No. Come on.
G. Gee, it works on Clyde One.
Has done for many, many, many years.
Callum. Oh no, it's not G.
Gallum, yes. This is painful.
Grant!
No!
He works on the... Does he work during the week?
No.
The weekends?
Yes.
Weekend breakfast?
Yes!
Oh, Gavin!
Yes, thank you. Right, yeah.
Gavin. Gavin, yes. Skellin.
GP.
Oh, GP. Gavin Price
is the correct answer.
Is it really? Get in!
Gavin Price.
Who is he?
The former Elgin City manager, as I was telling you, obviously.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Ah, glad we got there. Right, we'll get to VARWTF in just a wee second because I think we need a wee break from the football and let's do some fun stuff before we get to that. So, we've been taking your shouts this week on If Scottish Football Were a Board Game. By thanks to all of you for getting in touch. Ewan Cameron, you can judge the winner. Let's go to Michael Montagnani first of all. He was in my year at school. He was one of my mates at primary school as well. So, hello to Michael. Goes to Dunfermline Games. So, If Scottish Football Were a Board Game, Liam Dictionary, Mark Kerplunk.
That's good.
That's quite good. And Ian Jess Who.
Ian Jess Who?
Jess Who? Guess Who?
Oh, Guess Who.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Ewan Boyle says John McMastermind.
That's not a board game.
It's not. It's not, actually.
It's not.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
It's not a board game.
Ewan Boyle, you're disqualified. Michael Douglas, no, not that one. Operation Rooney.
Operation Rooney. Operation Rooney? That doesn't work.
Operation Rooney. Shun Rooney.
Sean Rooney. Sean Rooney, yes.
Hello to Mikko, Ian Blackgammon, and Ian Chess, which was a very, very popular answer. Robin says Brian Dice. George Burns says Pictionairdre. This is quite good, though, for George. Dungeons and Dragon Mod. I'll get this right. Dungeons and Dragon Mladenovic. That's not bad. I quite like that. Stephen Hill, almost my name. Hungry Hippo Akinyemi. Hippo Akinyemi. Yeah, that's quite good.
Hippo wait.
You know. Also, Stephen Hill says Ange Posta Boggle-loo. Boggle.
Boggle.
Is it Boggle?
Have you ever played Boggle?
I've heard of it.
I don't know what it is.
Fergus Blythe says.
What a name.
I know. Settlers of Catandy Halliday. Is that like, what is
Settlers
that?
Settlers of Catan.
Right.
Settlers of what?
Catan.
What's that?
It's like a board game.
Is it a board game?
Yeah. 30 years or something.
Right, okay. Fergus Blythe showing his age there. Thank you, Fergus. Graham McFarlane, Dado Trivial Prosso.
Nah.
Scotty says, oh, Christ. Haxabat Gammonvich.
Again, it's a game I've never played. I don't understand backgammon.
Scrabble Matondo. It's quite good. I like that. James McCards Against Humanity. Yeah. Craig says Nuno Capuccio. Uno.
Oh, Uno, the card game.
Nuno Capuccio, right? Who is widely regarded as one of the biggest Rangers flops of all time. But I went to see Dunfermline play Rangers at Ibrox. And Nuno Capuccio had his only good game for Rangers. He absolutely destroyed us, honestly. I think we got beat like 5-1 or something like that. Duncan Miller says, Kerplunkin Ferguson, Aminopoly Brophy.
Nah, some of these are really bad.
Johnny Mack says, Trivial Pursuiter.
That's better.
Guy Britton says, Harold Backgammon. Backgammon.
Somebody explain to me how backgammon works. Go and give me the rules of backgammon.
Is it not? You've got the red bits and the black bits.
No, that's drafts.
Was that drafts? No idea how backgammon works then, mate. Guy Britton also says Neil Scrabble-Lennon.
Scrabble. Yeah. I would like to play Scrabble because I like to make up some sweary words and naughty words and see when you play with your mother-in-law, it's really funny.
Alan Till says,
when you put the word c**t in it.
How many points do you get for that? Out of interest. Alan Till says, etch a sketchy Anya. I don't. Etch a sketch isn't a board game, is it? That's a toy.
Oh, it's a good one,
yeah,
though.
I know it is. Monopoly McBurney. Oh, God. Operate. Oh, God. Opera Shunsuke Nakamura.
No.
Whack-a-looey Malt.
That's good.
Fuzzy Bear says James McPakes and Ladders. Not bad. Robbie L says Miles Hungry Hippolyte. And Jerry Taylor says VARs against humanity. So there you are.
That's, I like your... the Miles Hungry Hippolyte thing. That's a good one.
Okay, well done to Robbie L. You've won this week. And for next week, I saw a story the other day that finally at airports they've started to do away with the 200 milliliter rule of liquid before you get in a plane. So this week I want your best suggestions for if Scottish football were an airport. Okay. So
what examples do you have?
Paris Reagan, Charles de Gaulle, Cook. Very good. Oh God. Liam Palma de Mallorca.
That's bad.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
There's another one, and I'm not even going to do it. It's that bad. Right. So that is. If
you, they can do better.
An airport. You need to do better than that. You can
they
get in touch in all the usual places, including on our Twitter feed, which is at Big Football Scott, if you want to give us a shout there. So at Big Football Scott, if Scottish football were an airport, right, I suppose we had better do this. La gente está muy loca. What the fuck? Okay, big week for VAR, or lack of, depending on your opinion. So let's start with the big one then. Celtic versus Rangers, Alfredo Morelos. Talk to me, Ewan.
Referee made a mistake. That's it. He made a mistake. And I think, in reflection, he will admit he made a mistake. I also think as well the protocols need to change for VAR that allows a referee to have a look at a decision like that if there is a doubt. Unfortunately, the way that VAR works, unless it's a clear and obvious error, VAR cannot get involved because the referee is looking right at it and has made that decision.
Now, the reason, I think we can all agree, it was soft.
Correct.
Right? It was soft. But Alfredo Morelos does push him in the back, right? Whether it's enough for Johnson to fall over...
It isn't.
That's another story and that's another debate. Yeah. But... under the rules of VAR, that is not a clear and obvious error. Kevin Clancy thought it was a foul because Alfredo Morelos does shove him in the back.
No, shove's the wrong word.
He puts his hands on his back.
Puts his hands on his back. Doesn't push him, doesn't shove him.
And he's given a free kick.
Johnson feels the contact and he takes advantage of it. And I think it's good play from Johnson because he finds himself out of position. He knows he's in trouble. He tries to buy the free kick. The referee buys it. And that's why the VAR protocols need to change, because with situations like that, it should give the referee another chance to have a look at it. I would
honestly think if he went and looked at that, he'd change his mind.
I think he changes his mind.
Because I think this...
I personally believe he changes his mind. Okay. I really do. Because it was like what somebody said on Sky Sports News. I think it was that former defender, Stephen Warnock. He said... that if you're going to give fouls for that, there's going to be 25 penalties in a game.
They say that all the time.
But it's true though, Stephen.
When soft penalties are given, they always say that.
But it's true.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Listen.
It's really true. So I think if Clancy got the opportunity to look at it, he gives the goal.
If I'm a Rangers fan, I'm obviously not happy about that.
Yeah.
If I'm a Celtic fan, you can go, well, he put his hands on his back.
But then, okay, the flip to that is, I think that Clancy, deep down, will know he made a mistake there. Protocols need to change in regards to VAR. So if that is a foul, then why doesn't VAR intervene and give Rangers a penalty when Alistair Johnson is pulling the shirt of Morelos back just at the start of the second half when he has a header at goal? If you're going to be consistent, if that was a foul in the other penalty box, there was a foul committed there as well. But again, not every grab of a shirt, not every... contact as a foul. But when you set the precedent from the previous decision, be consistent and you should have pulled that one up.
Now, the reaction to it has been very strong. We've always had a couple of days and it's not really settled down any. Reports that Kevin Clancy's
shocking
address and
unreal
family details have been leaked online and stuff like that as well.
Disgusting.
Why would you ever want to be a referee in Scottish football if you make a decision like that? And I think in good faith.
Yeah, totally. 100%. You made a mistake. As I said, he made a mistake. We all make mistakes.
And that's the reaction to it.
How many mistakes have I made on this podcast in 36 episodes? We all make mistakes in life. And there are sometimes you want to go back and change things.
Someone argued this podcast is a mistake in itself.
Exactly. Now, I have worked with many former referees over the years at sportsmen's dinners. Probably like you as well, Stephen.
Yep.
And yes, there's a lot of hassle that comes with being a referee in Scottish football, but none of them regret it. They absolutely love it. They love the buzz of it. But see, when it gets to that sort of level, what Kevin Clancy and his family are going through right now, that's just the dregs of society. That's the worst of the worst. And again, that's not the majority of the Rangers support. That's a small minority online being and just horrible. That's it.
Also,
you'll need to do some beeps there.
Also, Rangers have written to the Scottish FA for an explanation of the goal being ruled out. They've got a reply. And the SFA have obviously stuck by their man, stuck by their referee, and said that there wasn't a mistake made. So,
again, you have to stand by the referee, a bit like what's going to happen down
south.
Is it
helpful for teams to be writing to the FA after contentious decision?
Hearts have done it in the past, Celtic have done it, Rangers have done it.
I think Dundee United have done it.
It happens down south as well. They want explanations for this. I think the new boy that's coming down south in England, he came out instantly after what happened between Spurs and Brighton. And apologised for getting it wrong. You want clarity like that, and I'd like to think the next season our referees will be a bit more open, or the SFA will release a statement or explain decisions on the Monday morning, a bit like what the English FA are doing right now.
The MLS are also doing something quite interesting at the moment. And the head of their refereeing sort of body is coming out and explaining contentious decisions.
And showing video evidence behind it as well.
Now, obviously, the thing with that is I've not seen evidence of the MLS coming out and saying, yeah, actually, we made a mistake there. Sorry about that.
I've yet to see that.
Yeah.
But they've explained why that goal was given or why the goal wasn't offside and all that. But I love what the boy's doing down south. What's his name again? Howard Webb. Transparent, open, communicating, comes onto Sky Sports News, comes onto Sky Sports for their Super Sunday programmes to explain what they're doing. They're going to try and explain the reasons behind certain decisions. And I thought the quickness that they reacted to the Brighton penalty that they should have got and apologised for it and phoned the clubs and put a statement out, I thought was top notch. And I think I'd like to see that in Scotland.
Do you think that would help here?
Yes, 100%. See if a Howard Webb type person was in Scotland and they come in and went, yeah, Clancy got that wrong. We apologise. We're only human. We make mistakes.
And you think Rangers just go, aye, cheers. Aye, sorry about that. We'll just move on. Let me clarify. The Rangers fans. I'm not saying Rangers.
No, you'd obviously, even as fans, if that was a situation.
Wouldn't that just play into the, told you so, they're against us?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It shows transparency. And if I was a Hearts fan, I'd still be annoyed that the decision went against me. But I'd also be, right, fair play to them. At least they know they made a mistake and hopefully they learn from it.
Okie dokie. Right, let's move on then. Hearts versus St Mirren on Saturday. Robert Snodgrass, the second yellow.
Move on. Second yellow, red card off.
Sports scene pundits think he got the ball?
Nah.
VR can't intervene on second yellow cards. Was it a yellow?
I didn't think he got the ball, but he also lunged in as well when the boy was getting away from him, so I thought it was a yellow.
Okay, okay. Aberdeen versus Kilmarnock. So, Dorset bundled over by Miofsky in the box just before a shot. What do you think?
Nah, not for you.
Nah. Johnny Hayes claims to have been pulled down by Danny Armstrong in the box. Both checked by VAR, by the way, not given.
Not given. Again, right decision.
Robinson, stabs the ball home in stoppage time, but it's offside, confirmed by VAR.
Definitely offside.
Okay, and finally, Motherwell Livingston. Johnson's goal for Motherwell, initially ruled out for offside. VAR confirmed that Spittle was onside before the pass to Johnson, so the goal was confirmed.
Yeah.
Good.
All good.
And Van Veen offside for the hat-trick, confirmed by VAR.
100%, yeah. Okay. Unfortunate for him, but yes, it was offside.
So, good or bad week for VAR, given the...
A good week. I think it's been a good week. Again, like last week, I thought it was a good week. And going forward, I hope that we learn from mistakes that I've made. But all in all, I think VAR have had a decent week.
Okay, we've got a few fixtures over the weekend. And Friday, we've got Ross County versus Aberdeen. That's looking like a big one. Both teams on decent form. Aberdeen obviously winning 5 games on the spin. They haven't been setting the heather alight at Aberdeen.
No.
You know, we were talking about on Saturday with our correspondent Ali Begg, who watches all the Aberdeen games for us. You know, Aberdeen haven't been fantastic, but they've been getting results, haven't they?
They've got momentum. and they now know how to win a football match, and that gives you a good chance of reaching your goal. And their goal is to finish third and get into Europe.
On Saturday, we have the Edinburgh Derby, Hibs versus Hearts.
Huge.
Stephen Naismith in charge of Hearts for the first time. It's a 12:30 kickoff. It's not live on the telly though, is it? I think it's going to be on Hibs TV.
On Hibs TV, Hearts TV as well.
Yeah, it's pay-per-view, yeah.
Yeah, pay-per-view. So I think it's what, £12?
Hibs, obviously, on a similarly shocking run that Hearts are on, so something has to give.
I was looking at the coupon for that game. Do you know that Hearts are 2-1 to win that game at Easter Road? And they've got a better team. You can't argue that. Hearts have got a better team.
They've just sacked their good manager, though.
It might just galvanise the team. At 2-1, I thought that was a huge price.
There. That was too obvious. Rangers versus St Mirren, back to winning ways for Rangers, yeah. Or St Mirren?
Nah, Rangers will win that.
Okay, Livingston versus St Johnstone on Saturday. Both teams...
Big game.
You know, St Johnstone could be dragged back into it if St Johnstone win.
St Johnstone would...
They'd go 4 points behind Livingston.
I think that if St Johnstone were to get a point from that right now, they'd be happy with it.
Motherwell versus Dundee United, looking like huge. Another big game for Dundee United.
Massive. And do you know what? That win against Hibs.
Motherwell playing well, though.
Yeah, that win against Hibs in the last minute, I think they'll get something out of the game. That I think it will it'll galvanise them and rejuvenate them.
Kilmarnock versus Celtic, Sunday lunchtime. What are you thinking of
that? Cricket score.
Okay. And the final games before the split, we may as well look ahead to that as well, because then we can kind of work out who's going to go where. Hearts versus Ross County again, an early kickoff.
It's a home win. Hearts will win that.
Celtic versus Motherwell.
Celtic.
Dundee United versus Livingston.
Huge. Dundee United will win that at home.
St Mirren versus Kilmarnock.
St Mirren will win that and cement their place in the top six.
St Johnstone versus Hibs.
Draw.
And then Aberdeen Rangers to finish things
off. Your top six will be Hibs and St Mirren, Hearts, Aberdeen, Celtic, Rangers.
Okay, so you don't think...
I don't think Livingston get in there.
Don't think Livingston, despite the fact...
No.
You know, they've got...
Nah.
But if they beat St Johnstone on Saturday... They would go above Hibs.
No, they won't.
If Hibs get beat.
But Livingston won't beat St Johnstone.
And that means Hibs needs to go to St Johnstone and win on the final day and hope that Livingston don't win against Dundee United.
Which Livingston won't beat Dundee United.
Okay, right. That's fine then.
So that's my top six. What's your top six?
My top six is Celtic Rangers, Aberdeen Hearts, St Mirren and... I don't think Hibs are going to win on Saturday. And I don't... Will they beat St Johnstone? I think Livingston are going to beat St Johnstone on Saturday and get in the top six, and that'll be enough for them.
So it'll be Livingston instead of Hibs in the top six?
Yes.
So we disagree on that as well?
Yes. Even though I think Hibs are... You know, I thought they played all right yesterday.
They did against Dundee United. I thought they were very good.
So there we are, you and Cameron. We've made it to yet another...
I enjoyed that
episode.
Today.
Yeah, it was good.
It'll be interesting to see what Hearts do over the next couple of days in preparation for the Hibs game, how the players will be up for that game at Easter Road. I hope they will. I think they will. I expect us to get results. We can't afford to lose any more ground to Aberdeen. And it'll be interesting to see what Hearts do in the summer, because Stephen Naismith will not be the manager next season. He's interim. And then he'll move downstairs, whoever comes in.
Is that your sources telling you that again?
I know that, sir, for a fact.
Oh, right, okay. Well, we'll move on then. You and Cameron and these sources. Right, this has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Stephen Mill, he's you and Cameron. Huge thank you to you for listening as well as ever. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on whichever podcast provider you use so you don't miss a podcast, and rate us 5 stars as well. Obviously, Ewan.
If we started off as a fish and then a monkey, how does it end?
Who knows? Keep an eye on socials for if Scottish football or an airport. Get your tweets in for that. And we'll be back next week at the usual time with another brand new episode of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Next Monday, by the way. Bye for now. Cheery bye.